Now, on the other side of that is customer service for customers, like people who are buying books. They're trying to automate that as well. They pay much more attention to the satisfaction level for their customers than they do for publishers and sellers. And that boils down to Amazon's whole philosophy. They're all about keeping customers happy, serving the customers and the customer's needs. They're less worried about hurting publishers' feelings or sellers' feelings. And, you know, that can be pretty frustrating for publishers and sellers.
Welcome to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. This podcast is brought to you by the Independent Book Publishers Association at ibpa-online.org. I'm your host, Peter Goodman, and today we are talking with Ian Lamont of i30 Media Group, and we're talking all about Amazon, what it does for you as a publisher and author, and how you as a publisher or author can use Amazon to your advantage, and also maybe avoid some of the issues that other publishers and authors have had and continue to have with Amazon. Question is, do you need Amazon, and do you have to give Amazon your firstborn in order to succeed there? And just so you know who you're talking to, Ian is the founder of i30 Media Corporation and the creator of the Lean Media Framework. He began his publishing business in 2012 with a single how-to guide on Amazon KDP, and since then the company has expanded to a complete line of utility nonfiction under the name the In 30 Minutes series, as well as several ancillary product lines. And Ian actually uses a whole range of Amazon programs, including Amazon Advantage, Amazon Advertising, Seller Central, and the Amazon Brand Registry to develop and market new products. And he's also a frequent speaker at publishing events on all these Amazon-related topics. So it certainly makes sense to have Ian Lamont here today to talk about Amazon. Welcome, Amazon. Or welcome, Ian.
Hey, Peter. It's great to be back.
You may as well be Amazon, right?
Mr. Amazon.
Amazon runs in your blood. Good to have you here. First thing I wanted to talk is generally about Amazon. What have you detected any changes, fundamental changes in Amazon over the last year?
Yeah. So as you mentioned at the top of the show, I participated in a whole bunch of programs, and I do notice things changing. For instance, Amazon Advertising. This is a really I think it's a very special program that will basically help publishers and other types of sellers get their products or their books in front of more eyeballs on Amazon. And what's been happening actually is the cost of using Amazon Advertising is going up. And when you use Amazon Advertising, it's basically a self-serve advertising platform. You create an ad for your books, and then it will show up in different places on Amazon in search results and also on the Amazon detail pages. And you pay each time somebody clicks on the ad. It doesn't matter if you sell something or not. It's only when you click on something. And the cost of those clicks has been going up. And I think there's a couple of things going on here. One is that there's more people are participating in it. That is, more publishers and more sellers of other stuff, they're getting these advertisements, and they're driving up the bid levels for each click. And then the other thing that's happening with this is Amazon, when they created the program, they have default settings for instance, the default level for bidding on a certain keyword. Those default settings are actually quite high, and you can change them, but a lot of people don't. And I think as a result of that, that's also causing the price of clicks to go up over time. So that's one change that I've observed. And then there's also a change related to customer support, and I guess we can talk about that later on. It's a little bit more detailed. But there's, you know, the Amazon ecosystem for publishers is very big. There's all kinds of programs that are available. Of course, they tweak the programs from time to time. They add new features or maybe make something a little bit better, or maybe in some cases a little bit worse. And it's hard to keep track of all of them. And I admit, I mean, I participate in all these programs, but keeping an eye on all of them can be difficult at sometimes. But, you know, it's definitely one thing I advise all publishers and all sellers who are using Amazon. You really have to keep an eye on your costs, how much you're spending on Amazon advertising. If you're participating in other types of programs like Amazon Advantage, you know, they take 55% right off the top there. So you have to make sure that your margins are working out, and that means you have to calculate shipping costs and all these other factors too. So it's important to keep an eye on some of these things as best you can, and also look for sources of information whether it be, you know, maybe it's a trusted publication, maybe IBPA puts out an alert about something, but just keep an eye on that stuff. So, you know, you'll have a better handle on how to get the most out of Amazon.
Well, I mean, it sounds very overwhelming for someone who is just starting out. The simple idea is, oh, I'll just put up my book on Amazon and boom, it will sell. And of course, that's not right. People may find it, but the whole point of being on Amazon is to connect with customers, and customers have to be able to find your book. And if your book is in a general subject area or a popular subject area, you've got a lot of competition. And as I guess you're suggesting, the advertising is the way you are able to stand out from the competition so that people find your book and not somebody else's. I've heard that the whole point is to get on the first page because nobody ever goes to the second page. Do you think that's right?
I think there's some truth to that. I mean, most people, when they're searching for something, Amazon search results, they'll show about 15 or 16 different items there. Some of them may be sponsored products. Some of them are getting there organically. But if the person sees something that they want, and Amazon designed it that way, they're presenting results that it thinks are people are more likely to click on or more likely to have a good experience. So I think there's a little bit of truth to that. You know, one thing about, you just mentioned, like you can put something on Amazon, but that doesn't mean people can find it. Amazon advertising, of course, is one way to kind of get to the head of the line and show up in search results or show up on other products, other books, detail pages. But, you know, one thing that Amazon likes and also IBPA stresses all the time is just this emphasis on quality. If you're serious about publishing, you have to make your book and all the aspects of that book look great, look appealing to people. That means having a professionally designed cover, having a title that really works and resonates not only with readers, but also with Amazon's search engine. That's an important thing. Have a description that works out well, and then do things to encourage readers to leave reviews, legitimate reviews. And there's a whole bunch of programs that you can take advantage of. IBPA makes some wonderful programs available for a relatively low cost. One, for instance, NetGalley. Sometimes NetGalley reviews will show up on Amazon. So it's really important to be professional about your publishing and try to make your product and your book look as good as possible. Follow all the advice that IBPA gives on those types of professionalism in publishing. And then, you know, do other things to try to market the books, whether it's Amazon advertising or maybe you have a mailing list and you're sending people to an Amazon detail page. There's all kinds of things you can do, but they all kind of work together. And if you can do it, if you do it right, and this is a book that people read, it can find a readership, it can do quite well on Amazon. It's not a guarantee, but I think that if doing things right is really a foundational element of any publishing venture on Amazon as well as off Amazon.
Well, talking about off Amazon, do you think the average indie publisher, small publisher, author publisher needs Amazon? There are some people who have decided to go their own route. They consider Amazon a corporate pirate, someone who doesn't have the interest of publishing or the culture at heart and are trying to find a way to survive without it. Do you think it's possible for an indie publisher to exist without Amazon?
Yeah, it is possible. And there are, and you hear stories about indie publishers who are using some really innovative ways to survive outside of the Amazon ecosystem. And I think it's a great thing to be able to do that. For instance, at PubU a few years back, Kwame Alexander, the poet and the author, he spoke to publishers about what he did to kind of raise awareness of his book. And he was literally going to like farmers markets and in-person types of events to sell his books. And it did really, really well. And there's other publishers out there who have done very well with direct sales to certain organizations. Sometimes my own company, I'll get a direct order from, one time it was from the Air Force Academy in Colorado, or from a school system in Florida. They want to order my books. And developing those things is not just a good idea because Amazon is this giant corporate juggernaut, but it's also good for your business. And, you know, the nightmare for a lot of small publishers who are using Amazon is if, you know, what would happen if Amazon, for some reason, maybe shut down your account, or there was some dispute with Amazon, or maybe, who knows, some other type of platform comes up that starts to marginalize Amazon. And if all of your eggs are in one basket, you know, that can really be damaging. It can be fatal to your business. So I really encourage publishers not just to think about their Amazon strategy, but also their overall strategy and finding those other sales channels that they can use whether it's their own website or whether it's direct sales or whether it's other platforms to try to make their publishing business grow. And, you know, one thing I say in my talks when I, you know, speak at PubU or other events about Amazon, I think it's a fabulous laboratory for developing and kind of improving and optimizing your products and then taking them and selling them to other types of sales channels. And so, you know, think of it as something just as Amazon is using you to make money, you can use Amazon to expand your business outside of Amazon into other types of marketplaces.
So you talked a little bit about Amazon advertising as one way of kind of getting in, working the system. What are some of the other things that you think a publisher should do that is more than just passively putting their books up there?
Well, in terms of using, you know, there's a whole bunch of Amazon programs out there that publishers can take advantage of. And the obvious ones, I think probably your listeners have heard of them before. Amazon KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. Audible is another Amazon program. Some publishers are using Amazon Advantage, and I use that myself. And another one that a lot of publishers might have heard about or may be aware of but haven't tried out is Amazon Seller Central. And, you know, just as many publishers use maybe KDP or Ingram Spark to get their books onto Amazon.com to sell, there's another channel, and that is the Seller Central platform. And some publishers have been using Seller Central to sell either maybe used books that they have, they could be returns, or if they have overstock and they want to sell it and they don't have any other channel to use. For instance, right now, Amazon Advantage, which is a program for kind of, you know, smaller and mid-sized publishers, they're not accepting new applications. So if you've printed out a whole bunch of books and maybe they've been returns or something like that, and you need a way to sell them, Amazon Seller Central might be the way to do that. There's two levels to this program. There's the free level, and then there's the pro level. It costs about $40 per month, and it comes with some special programs that sellers can take advantage of. But I use Amazon Seller Central to sell used copies, and also sometimes if I get, for some reason, I have extra new copies lying around that I want to make available to sell to people, I'll use Amazon Seller Central to do that. And by the way, it's not just for books. Amazon Seller Central, you can really use it to sell anything. So maybe you're considering making some sort of non-book product. Maybe it's related to one of your book brands. Maybe it's not. You can use Amazon Seller Central to do that. And that's something I think some publishers might want to look into.
You said that Amazon is not accepting any new applications for Amazon Advantage. Why is that?
I'm not clear why that is. They say something on the website like, you know, they're trying to improve the service or they're working on something. But they're not really forthcoming about that. My own suspicion, and this is not confirmed, but I believe that they probably want to phase out Amazon Advantage and maybe have publishers start using one of the other programs that they have to get into Amazon.com. It could be Seller Central, it could be something else. But for about 6 months or 9 months or so, new publishers can't sign up for that program anymore. Mm.
You were saying that you were detecting some issues, decreasing customer service quality between publishers and Amazon. You're finding it more difficult to deal with them, get mistakes corrected, and deal with other issues that come up?
Yeah, so this is what I think is going on. And this isn't just something that's recent. I think it's been going on for a couple of years. Amazon wants to automate as much as it can. It doesn't want to have people dealing with problems to figure something out. And, you know, kind of their idea about this is, the fewer people you have dealing with suppliers, the more profit that they can make. And so what you'll start to see happening is when you click the Contact Us button at the bottom of Amazon KDP or Amazon Seller Central, you'll get put into this tree, which is kind of asking you, all right, well, what's the problem you have? Okay, if you have this problem, you should look at the Amazon help pages about this. Or you should look at the Amazon Seller Central forum, what other sellers use to talk about things. And then they really make it difficult to actually get to a point where either you can call somebody or you can send them an email to explain what your issue is. And then on top of that, sometimes I've emailed them about some issue that can't be taken care of via their help online help pages. It's like a real problem specific to my company. And I'll send them a description of what's going on. And then the response that I get back will be almost nonsensical. It's like they totally didn't understand what's going on. And I think what's happening is a human being never even responded there. They're just taking the incoming message. their computer programs are spotting some sort of pattern to the phrases or the terms being used. And then it just says, oh, well, he mentioned book covers 5 times. So let's send him some response related to book covers. But maybe it's not even about book covers specifically. It's about something else. And that can be pretty frustrating when you get that sort of response. And the other thing that I've seen happening is, even if you do get a human being to engage with you on some issue, and it could be a serious issue, it'll get passed to somebody else who doesn't know the whole history, and then you have to explain the whole thing over and over again. So it is getting kind of frustrating dealing with that. And somebody asked me a couple months ago, it's like, well, if I sign up for Amazon Seller Central, the pro level, will I have a phone access to Amazon support? And I had to be honest with them. I said, no, you won't. Amazon doesn't really want to talk on the phone to answer a lot of questions or take care of your problems. They want to automate as much of it as they can, and they want you to figure out the problem on your own. So that's kind of a negative trend. Now, on the other side of that is customer service for customers, like people who are buying books. That they're trying to automate that as well, but they pay much more attention to the satisfaction level for their customers than they do for publishers and sellers. And that boils down to Amazon's whole philosophy. They're all about keeping customers happy and serving the customers and the customers' needs. They're less worried about hurting publishers' feelings or sellers' feelings. And, you know, that can be pretty frustrating for publishers and sellers.
So you've rarely find it possible to talk with an actual human being at Amazon?
Less and less over time. A couple of years ago, when sometimes I'd hit the contact us form, they'd say, oh, we can call you back right away to talk about this. That almost never happens anymore. So usually it's, if I'm lucky, I can get some sort of case open via email and describe what's going on, and hopefully it will be resolved as quickly as possible. But a couple times I've been stuck in these Kafka-esque customer support things for my business. And it's really, I'm about to rip what's left of my hair out of my head, because it's so darn frustrating.
Yeah, well, it's like trying to negotiate a voicemail tree, and you keep coming back to the same place, and then finally getting disconnected at the end. You could make a great comedy show about it at some point. I want to go back to talk a little bit about what you're saying. Publishers really have to be aware of costs. There's costs of advertising. There's costs of printing. There's all these other ancillary costs that pop up from time to time. And nevertheless, you still have to compete on suggested retail price with other books that are in the same category as your own. What do you think are some of the key kind of hidden costs of doing business with Amazon that publishers need to be aware of?
So when you participate in a lot of these programs on Amazon, one cost that you have to know about is there's often a program cost. KDP does not have a program cost, but Amazon Advantage does. I believe it's $99 per year. And if you're using the Amazon Pro Seller account, you pay $40 per month. And then another cost that comes up with some of these programs is warehousing costs. And this again, doesn't apply to KDP, but it does come up with Amazon Seller Central, and it does, I believe it comes up with Amazon Advantage too. If you have books sitting around an Amazon Fulfillment Center for too long, there's different levels for it. They'll start charging you money for that. And sometimes they'll want you to take them back. And there's a cost associated with that. And then, another big cost is the cost of shipping. That can be quite significant, especially if let's say you're using Amazon Advantage, and Amazon Advantage is only ordering a trickle of books. So, you're sending it media mail or maybe by UPS or something like that. But the per unit shipping cost is actually quite high, and that eats right into your margin. So I think you really have to keep a handle on those types of things. The other thing is if you're using marketing programs through Amazon, and Amazon advertising is one of the most well-known ones, but there's a real cost to that. And while, 20 cents or 25 cents per click doesn't sound like much, you have to remember that maybe you'll only get a sale once every 10 clicks. So if you're paying 20 cents per click and there's 10 clicks, you're spending $2 on that right there to get a sale. If your margin is, less than $2, you're losing money on that particular campaign. So you really have to kind of keep those things in mind when you're planning it.
When we talked previously, you had mentioned you do get a full report But there's a way of looking at the report and making sure that the number that you get for how much money comes in is actually reflective of how much revenue you're going to get, because there are some deductions you have to make before you can actually figure out how much money you get to retain.
Yes, this I think what I was talking about was a number that Amazon gives you called the advertising cost of sales, or ACOS. And Amazon presents this data point. It's expressed as a percentage, and basically it means what it does is it will take the total cost of your sales on Amazon, the gross sales on Amazon. So let's say that over a period of time, you've sold $100 for a particular campaign, gross sales. So that's, let's say it's 10 books. Each book costs $10. And then it will say, well, you spent $60 to get those $100 in gross sales. So you're thinking, and that will give you an ACOS of 60%. And you're thinking, oh, all right, well, that sounds okay. I spent $60, but I got $100 in sales. But the problem with that number is that's Amazon's gross. That's before they take their cut, you know? So the actual amount of money that you may be getting back, it may be less than $60, or it may be just a very small amount of money. And then, of course, there are these other costs that you have to take into consideration. So Amazon presents this data point like it's as a useful thing for advertisers to use to evaluate their campaigns. I think it's a really bad number to use. And actually, what I advise people to do is you have to download the data that Amazon gives you on Amazon advertising. It's downloaded as like an Excel spreadsheet. And you may have to do some manipulation to really figure out what your true costs are and what your margins are. And, you know, unfortunately, that's a tall order for a lot of publishers, especially those who are just getting started. But, you know, if you're running a business, understanding your costs and your margins and also what your partners are taking from it, that's a really key thing, whether it's Amazon or whether it's somebody else. Amazon, to its credit, it makes this data available so you can calculate it, but you have to do some things on your own. And some of the numbers that it's throwing out there, you have to be careful when you're using them.
And we're going to stop here and close off part one of this long interview with Ian Lamont about Amazon. We'll conclude in part two, where we'll talk about Amazon Advantage, using social media to drive traffic, and how Amazon is changing, and what alternatives you have if you decide to cut the cord. Thanks again for listening. Let me hear from you at Peter Goodman or at IBPA on Twitter. And I'd especially like to hear suggestions for topics for future broadcasts. And be sure to check out IBPA at ibpa-online.org. I'm Peter Goodman, and as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.